Deputy Chair of the Legislative Committee, first item of business to confirm the quorum.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Consent calendar consists of the minutes of November 9th and legislative history. Motion. Motion by Dodd, seconded by Kinsey. Any objection to the motion? Motion passed without objection. Item 3, the 2013 final advocacy program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, on the item you just passed on the ledge history, I just want to draw your attention that there is an item in your packet. Our legislators are at work introducing bills, which we will certainly look to bring you in the upcoming months. This next item is our final draft for your consideration and approval or action on our ledge program for the upcoming year. There's a number of things that are here that are different from what you saw a month ago, and they are highlighted so you can easily find them. I'm just going to go through the changes as opposed to the whole thing because you've already seen the whole thing, and also just kind of mention that we've run this by a lot of different interests, stakeholders, partners across the entire Bay Area and gotten their input on this as well. Starting on page one, with respect to increased transportation funding, I think there's going to be two themes out there. You commented on them last month. One theme is to try to lower the vote threshold from a two-thirds to something less than that. Schools right now for bonds have a 55% level. As you are aware, most states in America are ruled by majority rules except ours. So the first item that's here is to focus on getting a lower vote threshold for local transportation measures. Now, keep in mind, across the entire state, local government from schools to cities are also in this as well. So I think the real strategic question for us at some point is, do we go alone with a single bill about transportation, or do we partner with a whole host of other interests? And I think that that's going to be the real question that the legislature is going to have to address. The next item down, which is a new item, item B, what we do here, and I think a lot of the commissioners mentioned this, is to not focus on getting a revenue increase out of the state this year, to instead focus our efforts on getting the vote threshold changed. There is going to be some efforts to lay the groundwork, however, for a statewide revenue measure. We believe we do need one in order to take care of the whole state, in order to take care of the STIP, public transit, local streets and roads subvention. There needs to be a statewide revenue source. But in this particular proposal, we're suggesting that while we lay the groundwork, we don't seek to enact it this next year. Turning the page, another item we're recommending that you focus on this year is cap and trade. As you know, there was a cap and trade auction that took place a couple of weeks back. It raised approximately $300 million. There's going to be two more into the future. I think there are some folks that have observed that they were disappointed with the outcome of the first auction. However, it was just the first one. I think what matters on transportation is that these funds are essentially being made available now. And we in the transportation side want to make sure that our program is included in that revenue stream. So transportation is about 40% of the state's greenhouse gas emissions. There is a role for transportation to get some of this money, and that's going to be one of the things we're suggesting to you that we focus on this next year. Moving down the page to item 5, this is a big item, CEQA reform. We do believe this is going to get some traction this year. Last year it made the news a lot, but I don't think it was ever really close to passage. It was talked about, but I don't think there was anything really that you could say was a significant, serious effort that was going to muster the votes to pass. We have a series of items here. We've added an 8th item, which talks about the need to expedite project review by the regulatory agencies as part of our effort to reform CEQA. At this point, our focus is essentially trying to reform CEQA in those areas that affect transportation. We're not speaking to all the areas where CEQA does need some changes. And other than transportation, we're focusing on the issue to support SB 375 and decisions by localities for housing, particularly in the urban core. Many times housing is slowed down and affected by CEQA regulations, and we're focusing on that as well in this item. Turning the page down to item 10, we talked about a parking policy reforms in our ledge program. We've heard a lot of feedback from you. In this particular recommendation, we're not just saying we shouldn't do it. What we're really saying is let's see a specific bill. let's see something that we can really respond to in the details. There was a lot of comments from different commissioners about different subjects because this can be a big subject. So it's almost certain we're going to see something out of the legislature. We're not saying no. We're just saying let's just wait and see and respond to something that's specific. So that's what that item. And we have plenty of time throughout the year to do that on bills that will emerge as a result of legislative action. Moving on to the federal side, one item that we just should have included on the natural but didn't is just to keep reminding ourselves that the MAP 21 bill that just passed is going to just about expire. So it seems like it's never ended over the last decade. We've had short-term extensions. We've had bills that get delayed. It takes them 3 years to work on a bill that lasts for 2 years. So this item is before you because it is going to be something we're going to have to do. Federal appropriations, for those of you who are following the news, I think it's a misnamed fiscal cliff, but I certainly it's focused the television guys trying to, I'm surprised they haven't given it another name to scare folks, but our transportation revenue sources in the gas tax are insufficient for the program that Congress appropriates right now. They have been able to maintain these appropriations by essentially bailing out the trust funds with general fund money. That's what they've been doing. Inside the president's proposal to deal with this fiscal cliff issue is a $50 million injection of funds into the program to keep us going for a couple of years. We believe that if the fiscal cliff negotiations get concluded and there's no transportation money to backfill the general fund, it's going to be a hard slog to find another action by Congress to backfill transportation. So finding money in transportation has been the most difficult element of a negotiation between the House and the Senate, and it remains so to this time. So it's included here in our ledge program. Moving down to item 5, and Commissioner Liccardo, this was a specific item that you discussed. And over the last month or so, I've had numerous phone conversations and read lots of email about this subject. And I do think that the good news is that the airports themselves understand this issue and want to come to some sort of a strategy to deal with it. They are interested. All airports are. San Francisco, in addition, knows that it has all this traffic, short-haul traffic, that would probably be better utilized in a different airport, and they can focus on the traffic that they do very well, which happens to be larger flights and long distance. So I think the good news is that everyone has a consensus on the problem. But like a lot of issues in government, the issue is often to focus on what do you do to solve it. And that's where the hard part is. Commissioner Liccardo made some suggestions about what we can do to solve it. I think he read a number of emails that discussed how difficult that solution might be. But so what we have here is maybe less of a solution but more of a process to get to some recommendations. What we do with those recommendations could be work in Sacramento. It could be work locally. It could be work in Washington, D.C. So there is a regional airport planning committee. It's called RAPC. It hasn't met since May of 2012. Here, what we're recommending is that we reinvigorate that committee. We put this issue before it, talk about some things that we think we can do locally, even if it's an information program to try to get folks to understand that it's better for them to fly local and hopefully the market can follow them. It could be more significant, which is to allow the Bay Area some sort of a national pilot program to try to deal with this question. So our recommendation to your suggestion, Commissioner, was to do this. So I have these items before you for your consideration, and we'd recommend that you give us the authority through an action on this draft ledge program.
Let's see if you convince Commissioner Liccardo. Commissioner Liccardo.
He did. So, Randy, thank you for your work and your team's work. I know that's with all the other issues you have on your plate, nobody's eager to do a deep dive on yet another one. So I appreciate the time you've expended on it. And I would just point out, I think ultimately whatever we do is probably not going to need a lot of convincing of consumers, because I think I'm sure Oakland's in a similar situation. We have very high flight loads in San Jose. We're maxing out well over 90%. We just can't get the flights. So we'll see what happens and how we can influence the airlines. In any event, I wanted to go back to the cap and trade issue. I heard some advocacy prior to coming to the meeting around trying to focus whatever cap and trade revenue there may be out there, and I know everyone's got a lot of ideas about how to spend money that we don't yet have, but focusing entirely on transit operations. And I guess my question would be, is there a strategic advantage if we're if the goal really ultimately is trying to get a maximum amount of that funding for transportation? Is there a strategic advantage in saying we really want to focus it on operations, particularly on perhaps high ridership routes or something that we know will have a direct correlation to GHG emissions?
Commissioner, I think there might be, but I would throw a big, strong dose of caution on that strategy for the following reason. We used to have something we called the spillover, which was a metering mechanism in between the sales tax generations on fuel and sales tax generations generally. It was, for many years, a very small amount of money that periodically would show up, usually in good economies, for public transit, and the transit systems would be able to use it for various purposes, sometimes operation. But the big problem was you never knew what was going to show up the year later.
Right.
And eventually, the revenue source got very large very quickly because of a very strong economy. And transit lost that money almost immediately to deal with the general fund issue. It's not a good economy, right? It's a bad one. I forgot the story. The point is, in my opinion, I think cap and trade, until it settles down into some kind of steady state, is likely to be feast or famine. And I think that is a very poor match for transit operations. And if there's one thing we've learned from the major revenue source that most transit has, which is sales tax money, what they're able to do is add service in a strong economy, and then when the sales tax gets whacked in a bad one, they've got to cut it again. So what we really need are counter-cyclical revenues for transit operations, and I'm not sure this is one of them. So I just wouldn't want to narrow down too quickly into what might be a bad match.
Let me just for a moment to probe into the assumptions that you're making, Steve. Is it that the price of the carbon credits is going to increase as economic
activity
improves?
It's a market. So I think what that market will do over time is anybody's guess. And just as the stock market can be great some years and bad some other years, you shouldn't probably be gambling your food money in the stock market.
Agreed.
And I think that's akin to what a transit operator would do by counting on revenue from an auction year in, year out.
I made the assumption, and I know obviously you've got a very different assumption, was that the revenues would be increasing over time, particularly as the markets over which cap and trade is going to be regulating are going to expand, right? Right now we've got a limited segment of the energy market. We expect that to expand.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption is the number should go up over time.
I think you're right about that, probably on average, but I think that's where the other part of the cautionary tale comes into play. When the spillover money got large enough to really matter, a lot of other more powerful interests swooped in to get it. And I think that's another problem that we face here. There are a lot of very well-moneyed interests with very high-priced lobbyists who will be in that same competition for funds. So I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. I just think it's probably too early to narrow down to a specific strategy, especially one that requires, by its definition, a very steady stream of revenue.
Thank you. Okay, I have one speaker.
Commissioner?
What?
Chair, I just had a question.
Before the speaker?
That's okay. I'll go after this.
Good. I've just been sitting here, commiserating over how to pronounce her name, and I think I finally have it, so if you don't mind, I'd like to try it. Ms. Weeks?
I would have gotten it.
You got it?
Yeah, it's just... Okay.
Me too.
Staff attorney at Public Advocates, I want to echo what you've just been talking about.
and also echo what you heard respectfully submitted to you at your November meeting of this committee, as well as through the channels you've set up for feedback like this, like your Policy Advisory Council. And that message is that we'd really like to see the legislative advocacy program that is before you strengthened to explicitly state how MTC is going to pursue at every opportunity more funding for transit operations. In particular, as you know, restoring and increasing transit service is a top priority for Bay Area residents that have come to you and spoken to you many times, and also in order to meet SB 375 goals. The cap and trade issue that you just heard about is a huge opportunity, one, because it will quickly reduce greenhouse gases in a way that almost no other kind of transportation project will. It will be an immediate return on investment, and that is what my meetings with governor's office representatives, Department of Finance representatives, that is my understanding of their criteria for how these funds need to be used, is a quick return on investment in terms of greenhouse gas reductions. Further, there was an additional law, SB 535, passed at the same time that said that 25% of cap and trade revenues need to benefit disadvantaged communities. And we think transit operations would be a wise use and an advantageous use of that money. So we'd really ask for you to explicitly say in your advocacy program how you're pursuing transit operations funding, and in particular suggest the state transit assistance program, STA, as a source of that funding. Contrary to what you've heard, my understanding is that this could be seen as a supplement to existing sources of funding and therefore can help increase transit service rather than wholly depending on the volatility of what may be dynamics we can't predict. And finally, I just want to say this is something that we can partner with you on. As advocates that have come before you many times, I think we will be speaking to our legislators. We already are meeting with the governor's office and Department of Finance. We'd love to say that hand in hand with MTC, we are supporting this call for funding to go to transit operations because we want to see more buses on the street. We want to see our trains come more frequently, et cetera. So we'd love this opportunity to collaborate with you.
Thank you. Commissioner Campos.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up on the conversation, certainly in the context of cap and trade, but generally speaking, I do think it would be a good thing for us to pursue more funding for transit operations. And in the cap and trade context, is there something to what was said in terms of the possibility of that and my understanding is that at some point there's also some portion of the money that's supposed to go for, certain low-income communities. So I don't know if that provides a basis for that.
Commissioner, I think what I would say generally is, and I want to make sure I'm not misunderstood based on the prior conversation. I think transit operations, among many other transit and clean transportation strategies, is probably where we ought to start with cap and trade, and then we'll narrow down over time, not only as we get more reliable estimates of what the revenue stream will look like, but as we sort of know what the field of competition is. One very large competitor out there, for example, might well be construction of the high-speed rail system, which the governor has explicitly mentioned as a possible candidate. So that's, I think, point one. I think point two is, at least historically, and the past doesn't need to be prologue, but historically the state of California has been a very small partner in funding transit operations. The vast majority of transit operating assistance is generated locally here in the Bay Area, and I expect that to continue. So I certainly endorse the notion of having advocacy about increasing that pie rather than people being frustrated coming here asking us for more money that we don't have. But I think a lot of that advocacy is going to have to be focused here in the Bay Area, and what Sacramento's role will be, apropos the earlier conversation, is lowering voter thresholds and authorizing us to put together innovative funding streams. But we're going to be probably talking mostly to our own voters about trying to increase transit operating assistance. The Congress, got out of the business in major urban areas when Bill Clinton was president. And the state, the only time we ever got a program that started to be large enough to matter, they swooped in and took the money. So I think our advocacy in Sacramento is largely going to be enabling for us to help ourselves more with local measures.
Okay.
And I appreciate that, and I think that to the extent that there are possibilities where the two are not mutually exclusive,
sure.
I think that it would be important for us to at least pursue them or consider them.
I think, as Randy said, one thing to keep in mind, that your LEDGE program is not a straitjacket. I mean, this is you giving us direction about what things to focus on, but lots of bills get introduced, and when there are bills that we find of interest, we'll bring them right to you, and when you hear about them, vice versa, so that we can engage in opportunities that we may not have anticipated.
Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. This is a interesting interchange, because I agree with Steve that although it's always great to look for additional sources, that fundamentally, when it comes to funding the operations of local transit systems, we have to sort of look out for ourselves in a lot of ways for that year in, year out funding. And you know, I've found that locally within San Francisco, it's just my opinion that and I imagine this could be true elsewhere as well, that transit, for all we talk about how much we value transit, almost always loses in budget battles and doesn't do well against public safety or against health and human services or many other priorities. And I think part of that is that as much as we all love our transit advocacy world, it's not, it doesn't have the same heft that some of the other sort of, as you mentioned, folks, groups that are lobbying for government money have. And transit just doesn't do well, and it always comes near the bottom of the list. And that's a frustration that I think we need to really address. And I think it has to be addressed at a local level in terms of actually making the hard political choices that elevate funding for the service that benefits so many people who are not that well organized.
Okay, so with Commissioner Worth.
Sorry, thank you. I just wanted to kind of follow up on the cap and trade discussion. You know, I think one of the things when we're trying to do reduce commuting impact on, you know, the environment, greenhouse gas, and I'm looking at some of the coalition partners, such as the California Alliance for Jobs, do you think that there also may be an opportunity relative to providing corridors for these express buses to operate, you know, given the cost of expanding rail and given the flexibility of express buses? And the fact that we need the express corridors for them to move. Is that also something that might be part of the discussion?
Yeah, I think it is. Generally speaking, the sustainable community strategy that you're having such a pleasurable time developing, that is intended to be sort of the framework for how we interface with cap and trade. I think writ large, that's the nexus. And that sustainable community strategy has all sorts of components to it, and transit operations is one of them, but it's certainly not the only one. So again, apropos the earlier conversation as well, you know, capital funding can be one-time and sporadic because you get it and you go build something. Operating income needs to be year in, year out.
My thought on this would be to approve the advocacy program as it is presented before us, and then just keep this issue as a discussion point at this committee, and see how it goes. So there you have it. Motion is second. Is there any objection to the motion? The motion passed. Objection, federal legislation.
Commissioners, just one item. This also gets to Commissioner Liccardo's question. You know, sometimes things happen far away that matter to us. You know, Senator Jim DeMint from South Carolina recently left. He was the person that had a hold on Michael Huerta's name to become the FAA administrator. Michael Huerta, for those of you who know him, was the chief of staff to Norm Mineta. So on this airport question, at least we're going to be listened to, and that's a good thing. I also have one last item, Chair Hagerty, on other business after this is over.
Okay. I think you're ready.
So you can't really have a birthday party without a little bit of cake, and so we have some 511 cupcakes here that we're going to wheel out for you as well. That's
who made them?
Only the highest quality places, I
there
can
you
assure
go.
You.
Okay.
We get our sugar rush earlier.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So we're going to get some coffee and sugar. It needed to wait.
Well,
needed
wait
to wait.
Wow.
It's a cornucopia
that's, of coffee. Wow. All right, let's adjourn so we can get to the cupcakes. Hopefully you'll find milk over there also. So we are adjourned until January 3rd.